music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's too late.
The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
And we are on, ladies and gentlemen, on mic and not on phone now. And we're talking with Professor James Fetzer. And, of course, as you know, he's written a number of books. He's given a number of interviews. He's also conducted a number of interviews worldwide on a number of topics relating to what we call deep state and other minions of control. And this is what it all comes down to. I always tell people, Jim, that whenever you hear about some event or some false flag attack, whenever you hear about some attack that you think is real, look at the aftermath and he who benefits, you know, sai bono. And what we have is, as I've said, a very clear pattern. Ever since the Department of Homeland Security was created following the attacks of 9/11, now we have a super center of governmental control, which is leading to a police state here. We also have that intel. I believe it's below the ground. Is it in Utah or something that is being built? I haven't talked about that in a while. That Israel, of course, is directly involved in. That would be a massive surveillance state here in the United States. So people do not understand. Their conversations, their privacy, all of that is now subject to supervision and surveillance, eavesdropping, and so on and so forth. I think a number of people are leaving Facebook and also leaving Twitter and doing likewise with other venues because they're now finding out that this is not where they should be. It's egotistical, I understand. It's something that helps, attract listeners and so forth. But in the end, I myself do not find it useful and I do not find it beneficial. You know, what we do here and what we do on YouTube, I think is sufficient and is wonderful in getting out the word. Now, that brings me to the next massacre, supposedly. And that was what happened within the last 2 months and what didn't happen in New Zealand. Jim, I know your first reaction was probably mine. Here we go again. Go ahead,
well, Rick,
Jim.
New Zealand was even more amateurish than Boston, believe it or not. I mean,
I believe it.
Yeah, in Boston, you peered through the smoke and you saw there were bodies lying there with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later, and it came out of these little orange fake blood kits that were five or six in the area once it was cleared. Well, in New Zealand, you had the shooter going into this mosque, firing a shotgun, and people fell down, but there was no blood, no body parts. There are no ricochets. He goes into a room and the bodies are already stacked up in a pile. I mean, how can people be already dead before he's even entered the room, Rick? It was embarrassingly bad. It turns out now I've done interviews with a number of experts worldwide, including Ole Domegaard, Greg Hallett, Scott Bennett. We all agree this was a fabricated event. Greg Hallett quite astutely observed that the weapons he's using actually are toys. They're made out of plastic. They aren't even real weapons. And in some footage, you can see they've added CGI ejection of shell cartridges that disappear in midair. Rick, a brass cell cartridge can't disappear in midair. It never hits the ground. You never hear it bouncing around. I supervise recruit training with 15 DIs and 300 recruits going through the cycle, including marksmanship training at Edson Range Camp Pendleton as a commissioned officer in the Marine Corps in San Diego. The least qualified private would recognize this was all staged, phony, and fake, which is why in New Zealand now you can get 10 years for just having a copy of the video. It's so fake. It is so phony. No one could be taken in, Rick. So they're embarrassed and they're trying to contain it by clamping down. 10 years in prison if you just have a copy of this completely fake staged attack.
And also, they passed the law in New Zealand saying that these guns now would be illegal, that you must turn them in. How many do you know of that actually turned in any guns that they might possess?
Well, it's very, very troubling. Initially, there's something like 1.2 million registered guns in New Zealand. The initial report I had was on the order of 37, but I'm also getting reports that the police are going house to confiscate weapons. This woman who is the PM and Hillary Clinton, Greg Hellet, suggests they actually wrote the manifesto for this guy. Totally fake, totally staged. Even had somebody, when it begins with him driving. There's a 16-minute long video, Rick. I've watched the whole thing. It begins with him driving. He goes by three red cars. There's an official there to direct him where to turn to get into the mosque. He goes down an alley, turns around, comes back up, parks near the street. Then he pulls out a weapon, and you can see there's a flashing strobe light on the pavement when he gets out. So you already know this is not an ordinary weapon. Then he opens the trunk and pulls out one of this fake shotgun. It's got all kinds of markings on it, including an arrow that shows where they got to add the CGI shell casing injection. I mean, it's just the most ridiculous thing you ever saw. At one point when he's making his departure, he actually puts a weapon up to the windshield and fires, but there's no hole in the windshield. As Greg Hallett has observed, when they finally are supposed to have arrested him, it's a different car. The one car is white, the other champagne color. Mm-hmm. One has no damage to the windshield, the other has a triangular, three actual shots to the windshield. But get this, Greg. Get this, Rick. They're pulling a dummy out of the vehicle when they apprehend the shooter.
It's so in your face. And, you know, when we first talked about it on the air, I gave scant reference to it because we were in the middle of a number of things. But hey, I said the same thing. And, you know, I want to see the evidence. I want to see, even as you pointed out, fake bodies, if you will, on the streets as there were in Boston. I want to see the blood. I want to be able to see the real injured in hospitals. And what did they do? They gave us somebody who was in a hospital bed. He was wrapped up. He looked fine, looked great. He was shot, I don't know, multiple times. And you don't see any wounds. You don't see any facial wounds. You don't see anything. And yet this person would be almost in a state of catatonia had this been real. You see this time and again when people are acting. They're performing an act on a bed, and these drills somehow become reality. Now, what troubles me is what's going on in the schools. And we have a governor here in Rhode Island who said, we don't want any metal detectors in our schools to prevent somebody from walking in with a gun, which many people would say, well, that's okay. You know, a metal detector is something we can all live with. She said, because it would be frightening. It would terrify the children to see those metal detectors. Oh, but it doesn't terrify the children when you've got these SWAT teams coming in with these brandishing these arms and shooting into the sky and into the walls. You know, I mean, it is so blatant the way they lie and the way they just cannot give you a rational explanation as to why we need to disarm people who are not lawbreakers. And now, here's another thing, Jim, and this is the point before I let you go on. We'll take some calls.
Sure.
Is many people do not know that if somebody is convicted of one of these infractions of the law, whether it be the, you know, the red line laws and so forth, you know, you're not supposed to own a firearm and so on and so forth, that a jury who is armed with the facts and case law can in fact nullify not only the conviction of that person, but can nullify that law. Jury nullification. Now, there's no lawyer I know of that wants to tell people about it, but it is law, and it has been used in many cases. That is what we need to do, is to get people schooled in jury nullification. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to add, in relation to that interview with the alleged witness, it reminded me very much of Las Vegas, where they were doing interviews with alleged wounded there. They were not even connected to the blood pressure monitoring equipment. When 6 months or more ago, when I had a I lost my balance. I went down to urgent care to be checked out. And from the moment I checked in to the moment they gave me a clean bill of health and checked me out, I was on a blood pressure monitoring system. You know, mm-hmm. It was like mm-hmm. professional experts, you know, with firearms and medical people were writing to Paul Craig Roberts about the videos from Las Vegas that they were fake, that including that they were seemed to have rented rooms in a hospital to film this footage, but none of them had suffered from actual gunshot wounds, and the same is true in New Zealand. It's very blatant. It's quite outrageous.
Yeah, that's a good observation on your part to see those little things, seemingly, that most people wouldn't even pick up on. That's a telltale sign of a fraud in and of itself. Okay, 1-800-313-9443. Get on the line quickly if you want to comment or you have a question for Jim. And we have a call. We'll go to our favorite call from Las Vegas. It is Chris. Hello, Chris. Come on up.
Well, good afternoon, and what a great honor it is to be on again with Dr. Jim Fetzer and Rick Adams. It is absolutely extraordinary that I am extended this multiple opportunity.
Thank you.
A couple of things you've touched on already, and I want to expound on a little bit. You talked about the Bluffdale, Utah, Neta Data Fuse Ion Center, there where it grabs all the data of everything and two cans and a string on the planet to store it to be used as evidence against you in the future. And remember all those social media websites out there, Facebook and tweets and so on and so forth, will be data mined intrinsically with a microscope or smaller to be able to find something to use against anybody that's a freedom, liberty-loving American conservative patriot like yourselves.
Sure. Sure, that's what I alluded to, and people have forgotten all about that center. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, he's absolutely right. I mean, anything they can find. I mean, it's just ridiculous what's going on here. They're using all of these fabricated cases. Orlando's a perfect example. The permit for the Pulse Club had expired 3 years in advance. That's when they changed it from white. They repainted it black because it was closed. It only had 11 parking spaces. The story would claim they had over 300 people packed in, but it only had a legal occupancy of 150. With 300 and only 11 parking spaces, there would have been abandoned vehicles all over the place, but they weren't there. For the obvious good reason, it didn't happen. Even the Orlando Emergency Medical Center stated they weren't going to charge for services rendered. When's the last time you heard of a hospital not charging for a Band-Aid? They weren't charging for services rendered because they didn't render any services. And they had some of the most artificial, phony crisis actors there. You even got a group of them carrying a mannequin again, Rick. We find this mannequin thing showing up again and again and again. In Parkland, we have a 52-second video inside a classroom. And if you look, you see there are some girls trying to scream as though they were really scared, but one's worried about her bottled water, another's on her iPod. You got a kid pulling his putts, a camera turns, and you see what's supposed to be a body. It's a training dummy with no arms and no head, lying in a pool of fake blood. There are persons in police uniform rushing in and out. But you think, wow, those Parkland cops were really on the spot, except that Parkland gave up its police force in 2004. These were actors in police uniforms. If anyone wants to follow up, go to my blog. It's entitled Open Letter to POTUS, P-O-T-U-S, meaning President of the United States. The Parkland shooting and other mass illusions. You'll see I have there a lengthy study about Sandy Hook, a lengthy study about Parkland, and another called How to Spot a False Flag, where I go through a dozen or 15 of these cases and explain how you can know they were completely phony and contrived as well.
Well, Dr. Jim, this is kind of important, and very few Americans actually cognize this, so I'm going to share this with you. This so-called Joint Terror Task Force under the Department of Homeland Security, of course mm-hmm. brought in by Michael Chertoff, meaning son of mm-hmm. Satan, as we have learned in retrospective research.
Yes.
This is really the Stasi, the secret police, the KGB here in America. And I have been victimized twice by this Joint Terrorism Task Force, which is the assimilation, the unification of all federal powers within the state powers, within the sub-agencies of the corporate cities and municipalities, and their NGO corporate actors and licensees all working in concert together in the See Something, Say Something modus of the communist Red Chinese and Russian models and the Stasi KGB of Nazi Germany.
Yeah, well, you're making good points, because the plans for Homeland Security had been prepared way in advance, part of the Patriot Act, prior to 9/11, which was completely orchestrated and organized. I mean, there were all kinds of oddities about that particular date, like the group that would have George H.W. Bush and his group had some massive bonds that were going to become due on that date. It was all obliterated. This is part of taking out Building 7. Larry Silverstein, of course, had taken control of the WTC just 6 weeks in advance. He fired the security firm and replaced it that had looked after the World Trade Center since 1970 and replaced it with an Israeli firm. He renegotiated the insurance for the World Trade Center with an anti-terrorist clause, so that he would claim that two planes are attacked. He got double indemnity, pocketed over $4.5 billion on a $114 million investment. The whole thing was a complete sham. Building 7 came down in a classic controlled demolition. You even had Dan Rather on the scene at the time talking about how much it resembled the destruction of hotels and resorts in Las Vegas, for example. The north and the south tower actually turned out to have been blown apart by the use of nuclear devices, which was confirmed by the U.S. Geological Survey when it studied dust samples from 35 locations in lower Manhattan and found a host of elements, barium, strontium, lithium, lanthanum, tritium, some of which only exist in radioactive form, that would have not have been present had it not been a nuclear event. Americans have to wake up to the realities of the world in which they're living, where the government is trying to pull the wool over their eyes every single day.
Ah, yes, living in times of universal deceit is absolute dangerous to American. George H.W. Bush, Prescott Bush's offspring, supposedly, or Georgi Schraff, really former the party of the Nazis, of the inner circle of Hitler's intel rings, his 10 United States Code, 2358, the Strom-Thurmond National Defense Authorization Act of 1961. What an insidious piece of crap that is. Thank you so very, very much.
Well, thanks for a great call.
Thank you.
Really,
thank
really
you for the call. It's very interesting what he's just said, Jim, because, you go back in the family tree and you see that those people who say they are of such and such a nationality or such and such an ethnicity have, in fact, in many cases, changed their names. Netanyahu is not his name. Bibi Netanyahu is not his real name. They have changed their names, and I don't know exactly what it is now. I had it written down. But what they have done is try to become something that they are not and fool the whole world into thinking that they are children of Judah and that they are children of Israel when they are not. So we have a masquerade going on around the world today as we have never had before. And it's only getting worse. The fact that we have, Jim, a DHS with a budget of what? Now, I don't even know what their current budget is, that can continue to pay out these sums of money to people who have committed and been a part of this entourage of various and sundry massacres, allegedly, is an abomination. Taxpayers' money going to the so-called families of the survivors and those who were killed in the South Carolina church shooting by this this kid, Storm Roof. You know, Dylan Storm Roof, what a made-up name that is. You realize that that we have no control over this government. We have absolutely no control over deep state. And with Julian Assange now and the arrest of Julian Assange, we're beginning to understand this is the meaning of what is taking place. You do not take on deep state. You don't do it. All right. I'll come back to wrap up with you Jim, because we have Art standing by. All right. Stay where you are, Art, and we'll be right back, folks.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
All right, we're back, and Art will stick with us in just a little bit. We'll continue up this half hour because I did want to get a couple of more calls in for you now, Jim. And let's go right to them right now. Frank in North Carolina is up first. Hello, Frank. Welcome.
Hi, Rick and Dr. Fetzer. I'm listening to you guys, and I'm like, I don't know. I said, let me see if I can call the Parkland Police Department. So I had a friend of mine. I told her, I said, give me a phone number for the Parkland Police Department, the city of Parkland PD, you know, in Florida. She went, looked it up while I was on the phone with her there, and she found a website, and it just basically simply stated that all law enforcement activities of the city merged with the sheriff's department in 2004. Mm-hmm. So right. Anybody can go look this stuff up. You should look it up for yourself, though. You don't necessarily have to believe anything anybody says. Go look it up for yourself.
Right, exactly. Prove it yourself. What are your thoughts, briefly, Frank? It's been a while since I heard from you. As far as the Alex Jones situation, I think you've been calling a spade for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what to make of him, but he's obviously compromised. I think he chases the almighty dollar more than anything, even his own credibility and his own, respect. I've been, saying that for a long time. I don't listen to him very much, very hardly ever listen to him. Every now and then I'll listen to him and call in to him maybe a couple times a year or something. But I don't quite know what to make of him. I mean, he seems to be all over the place on the issue of Trump, for example. I know you called Trump out from the very beginning, and I think it's proven to be true.
All I can say is that Alex Jones is whatever he wants to be on any particular day. And there's no question that that's the way you get people corralled, and you have a following of people who are looking for conspiracy theorists to lead them. But no fact, you know, just theory, and then you change the facts in the case. And this is why he has been given prominence in many ways by the media, because they really don't hate him as long as he toes the line and can be of use in this dialectic. Then Alex Jones is not a Jim Fetzer. You see, that's the difference. All right, thank
you
for your call.
Rick, can I say something? I would say this.
Sure, Rick, go ahead.
Alex Jones betrayed all of us that used to follow him back in the day, like 10 plus years ago. He is not the person that he was. He betrayed all of that. He used to be the purveyor of, you know, the 9/11 truth, conspiracy and all of that. He's turned his back, and he surrounds himself with people that are perfectly comfortable with the official narrative. Those are his people, his hosts that fill in for him now. They push the official narrative of 9/11. They don't even question it.
Couldn't you see that coming, though? It was obvious that it would have to come to pass.
And as I say, the golden age for Alex Jones was at American Scholars Conference in Los Angeles in June of 2006, focused on 9/11, where he had me as a keynote speaker, where C-SPAN came in and filmed the panel discussion on Sunday, an hour and 45 minutes with four speakers. Steve Jones, physicist from BYU, whom I'd invited to be my co-chair when I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth. Bob Bauman, Korean War ace with 101 hits to his credit, but a degree in nuclear engineering from Caltech, where he'd been the head of the Star Wars research project under Presidents Reagan and Ford. Then Webster Tarpley authored the book 9/11, Synthetic Terror Made in the USA, and I myself as the founder of Scholars, where I gave a talk, the top 10 reasons we know the hijackers are fake. And C-SPAN would later broadcast it 7 or 8 times. It shattered the glass ceiling on public discussion of 9/11. That was the most important contribution Alex Jones ever made to public discourse about a politically significant event.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, though, Alex Jones diverts attention and focus away from the people that really did 9/11 who are still continuing to do all this today. He makes a lot of money,
and at the
end of the day, he's a shill. He's a shill for Israel. And
I noticed that about Alex, that he wouldn't talk about Israeli complicity. And notice, remember, we emphasize that in my work, 9/11, who is responsible, and why the video on BitChute and the book, America Nuked on 9/11, compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. It was a deal of, by, and for Israel. Americans need to understand 9/11 was an inside
Thank
job.
Thank you, Frank.
And
Thanks for your call, buddy. We got to run. We got one more call I want to try to squeeze in, though. Okay, Frank. Thank you. And that is Thomas from Florida. If we can get you in quickly, Thomas. Hello.
Yes. Thank you for having me on. I haven't listened to the whole show. In fact, I just started listening a little while ago.
Okay, go
and
ahead.
I was wondering, I don't live that far from Parkland. I'm probably within 10 miles of it. And sometime within the last 2 weeks, two of the Parkland students shot themselves. They committed suicide. And did you speak about that earlier?
We didn't speak about that earlier, but it has come up. Jim, any comment on the two?
Yeah, I'm glad to pick up on it. Yeah. This was a lovely girl, her interview. Did she shoot herself? That's something women tend not to do. They tend to take poison pills, you know, too many sleeping pills. We also had a report from a San Diego father who was supposed
to... You know what?
To
All right, Jim, yeah. Just hang on. We might as well carry you over. I don't want to cut you off now. Stay on the line, and Art, you stay where you are. We'll bring you up, too. Okay. Be right back, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Haven't you got any respect for this town?
I just lost it.
By some awful quirk of fate, the Morlocks had become the masters and the Eloi their servants. The Morlocks maintained them and bred them like cattle.
Okay, we're back. All right, folks, we're back. Jim, to wrap up, you were just explaining the suicides of these two young people at Parkland.
Yeah, well, I wanted to begin with the Sandy Hook. We got this guy, Jeremy Richmond, who's supposed to have been the father of a six-year-old Sandy Hook victim by the name of Averill Richmond, who's supposed to have killed himself on March 25th. But why should he do that? He's a millionaire. He's been making out like a bandit with contributions and donations from gullible but sympathetic but gullible Americans. Besides, he didn't lose a daughter there. Her name wasn't even Averill Richmond. That was just a fiction, just like they called Michael Vabner, these photographs of Michael Vabner as a child, Noah Posner. Her real name was Lenny Urbina, and she actually sang at the Super Bowl. We know it's her. Not only does she look just like Averill, but because Averill and Lenny had this very distinctive birth defect right across their forehead. It was like a kind of an adhesive tape you had across your forehead. It's the same person. So why would he be committing suicide? It's just ridiculous. Meanwhile, you have the case down here at Parkland with this just simply lovely girl who's supposed to have committed suicide too. But as I was beginning to explain, it's highly unusual for women or girls to shoot themselves, as is alleged to have occurred here. Well, women, females tend to do more passive modes of death, poison or sleeping pills, an overdose. This one particular woman was just lovely. She was interviewed at that very day where she said she'd walked off the campus in the company of Nicholas Cruz, who was the purported shooter. And as she was explained to the reporter, he'd been in trouble in middle school. So she said to him, "Boy, I'm surprised it wasn't you." And he gave her a "huh," meaning what in the world are you talking about? We now have reports that his defense attorney was going to summon her for a witness so that she could explain she was walking off campus with him when she was hearing shooting in the background. But either way, you see, that blows apart the official story in Parkland. There's all kinds of nonsense going on there that bears no resemblance to truth. They're trying to obfuscate it. It's very embarrassing. Nobody died at Parkland. They sent the kids home at 1 p.m. Same Progressive outed it. It was Valentine's Day, so they let the kids go early. Only a few dozen stayed behind. And, one of them being David Hogg, and we have repeated reports about how he actually graduated from high school in Redondo Shoals High School in 2015. I mean, he was a plant there at the Parkland Hospital. The whole thing was a sham to set up for this March for Our Lives that would occur on the 24th of March, which was produced by Dina Katz from Dancing with the Stars, who's produced many other marches. They had to begin the permit process, Rick, 180 days in advance. They were permitting for the March for Our Lives back in September and October, claiming it had been initiated by the Valentine's Day shooting. That had nothing to do with it. They had 100 different kinds of T-shirts you couldn't possibly have created in the short span of time between the Valentine's Day. It was a massive Democratic voter registration drive with billions in free publicity. It's an outrage. That's what the Democrats are reduced to, staging these fake shootings to take away our guns. I'm disgusted by it, Rick, and your listeners should be too.
And we are. Let me just ask you then, are any of these people involved in the Parkland shoot, have they been suicided? Is that what you're implying?
Rick, I can't tell you for a certainty. I can say it's very peculiar that these two from Parkland, she was going to be a witness. I don't know. She seemed like a lovely, sincere girl. I was very impressed with her. I mean, she was a high-quality human being. And I don't know what's happened. With Richmond from Sandy Hook, he may have gone to Israel, you know, be leading the good life there. But these things are all phony and fake. Go to my blog entitled Open Letter to POTUS, P-O-T-U-S, President of the United States, the Parkland shooting and other mass illusions, and you'll see how we know. There's that whole video about San Diego, a whole video about Parkland, and then a video about how to spot false flags where I discuss 12 to 15. And then if you want more, go to moonrockbooks.com. And you think that my suit here, we're filing a counterclaim about Leonard Posner because he's running the so-called Honor Network, which he actually founded 7 years before Sandy Hook, but claims to have founded afterwards. He's running a deep state op to take down content from the internet. He's taken down over 10,000 content items, where one of my videos on Sandy Hook is one content item. He's taken down over 10,000. We're bringing a countersuit against him to expose all of this. If you want to support that, think about it. Go to moonrockbooks.com. $5, $10. That would be great, anything you would feel like. Just make sure you're convinced that what we're doing is the right thing. All kinds of blogs about it at jamesfetzer.org.
Sure. Excellent. Jim, again, we had a good long discussion today. I want to thank you very much for being back. And God willing, we'll do it again soon, all right?
My great pleasure, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And you have a good one now. Take care. All right, folks, you know what? Because we've gone so long, and I thought it was very important that we do. We've had Art from Philly off a few weeks, and he's back today, and I didn't want to detain him. I want to get right to him now, and I think we'll bring him up at this point. Art, are you there? Art from Philly, where are you?
Yeah, I am here. And
I can hear you,
back.
Art. Sorry to keep you waiting so long. But here you are. It's good to have you back. And you've been listening to this discussion about fake attacks and the DHS. And, we know that Tom Ridge was the first head of Homeland Security. Chertoff was there, the from the Justice Department, went right to the Homeland Security Department, bumped him out and got a whole bunch of goy to fill his shoes. So, you know, do you have any comment on what we've talked about so far?
Well, I would have to agree that I think the government knew within a very short period of time, within a week or two, who really did 9/11, and they won't talk about it. That's what I think happened there. And I think what they were talking about with respect to that is true. Look who rose to power over 9/11. Was it not Sheldon Adelson? Was it not him who had expertise in controlled demolition to blow up the Sands casinos, both in Atlantic City and Vegas? Was it not Sheldon Adelson who rose to power to get Donald Trump in power? Okay. Going back to the Kennedy assassination, was it not Walter Annenberg who rose to power after that whole scenario? And both of them have direct connections to Meyer Lansky, okay? Mm-hmm. Through the National Crime Syndicate meeting that they had in Atlantic City back after the St. Valentine's Massacre. Now, out of the hundreds of millions of people in America, why is it these two characters rise to power to control the national agenda? So that's one point.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, that's what you're asking me about 9/11. So I see, you know, that when you're going to talk about 9/11, why not talk about what the role Sheldon Adelson is all in all this? And the other one would be Dick Cheney, who basically went to the FAA on that day and said, shut down the air defense system. Okay? So that's where I see that going.
Yeah, all right. Clearly 9/11 will not go away. And amongst us and, independent writers, different people from left, right, it doesn't matter. David Raymond Griffin, you know, has written several books on it, and he was on this program many years ago, as a matter of fact, and not only Jim Fetzer and just a handful, but countless others now talking about 9/11 and how it could possibly have been, how it could possibly have happened the way we think it happened. And now we're finding out. We're finding out that CGI has been used, computer-generated imagery, holograms, that we can actually deceive the world to the point where, we used to say you can't believe anything you hear, just what you see. Well, now we can officially, categorically state that you can't even believe what you see or what you thought you saw. And that is the scariest part, Art, of this digital age. You just can't trust it. You cannot unless you can verify it. And we've seen that with Boston, the Boston Marathon bombing hoax and the photoshopping and how we've been able to...
Still there? Testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me?
We're on.
All right. So,
is Art on? What happened?
I'm on.
Did we lose Art?
I hear you.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so I was going to bring up a simple point. Recently in my area, they had a meeting for the Anti-Defamation League, regional director, Nancy Baer. And she talked about, the issues. And actually, she brought up some valid issues there. For instance, assuming that the people in Pittsburgh got shot up, they're saying now they have to go through metal detectors. And as a result of that, there were some good points with respect to that. But towards the end of the meeting, and who was there was actually Julia Steinberg. I don't know if you know who she is. She's one of the major powers in the ADL. Right beside her was another guy who said he knew the former leader of the ADL who came up from Brooklyn or the Bronx, one of the two, and then became a judge after back in the 70s. I don't know who that was without looking it up. And, they pointed out a lot of the issues about defamation. And there's some valid points, with respect to dealing with kids being bullied in the schools. But I just said at that point, if you look at, for instance, in Long Island, New York, we had the Lucchese family there, basically took over the trash hauling. So what's the end result of that corruption? You got a townhome in Long Island there, you're paying $200,000 for the property, and you're paying $25,000 a year in property tax. So in 8 years, you pay as much for taxes as you do for the property due to the public corruption there.
Of course. That's the end result.
Yeah. Right. And I just simply said, you know, it's nice you want to stop bullying in schools with your No Place for Hate program. Okay, that's a good point per se. But don't tell me you're going to bring in the Chicago Syndicate as a solution there, basically rip off every taxpayer who's paying for that school in that community. So then, you know, after that, you know, they called me. They said, oh, that's anti-Semitic. Then a lady got up and says, well, I work with the Zionist Organization of America, run by Morton Klein, former math teacher at Temple University, by the way. And let's remember Zionist Organization of America. Let's remember Zelman Shapiro when they stole all that nuclear material out of America to build the Israeli nuclear weapons. That's called espionage, last time I heard.
Absolutely.
So right. So one or two of the people was actually interested in what I had to say. Okay. They have valid concerns. You know, they were all saying, oh, we support the state of Israel. All right. They have freedom of expression and state. That's what they want to do. Okay. But there's also the freedom that, you know, the other thing I pointed out is what, there was the Women's Society, the National Jewish Coalition of Women, I believe it was called. I'm not exactly sure. They said how great we were in establishing, the protections for women, what they call the Violence Against Women's Act, the Protection from Abuse Laws, which recently heard Joe Biden speak about, that he says he was one of the great social engineers of the United States to bring those laws into effect. Well, how many people see how well that is destroying the families and the kids in family courts these days? So it's one thing to want to protect women from being beat up and abused by husbands.
Sure.
It's another thing to basically change the laws in such a way that they're used to financially ruin the family and to destroy the children.
Well, so, they're destroying more than just the children. They are destroying children yet. They're destroying the entire fabric of society when they do that. This
correct.
Is the goal. The goal of communism is to what? Abolish the family. The family. That's
right.
What Karl Marx said, and that is what they are doing. They're destroying
right.
the family unit. And they've done a pretty good job of it in the last 50 years or so of my lifetime. So, I mean,
right.
that's the name of the game. The family court system, juvenile court, they've changed. The laws have changed now to actually to change along with all of the modern therapies and therapeutic drugs that are being used on people, on children, that the psychiatric profession has been responsible for. Big drugs have come into play here, as you know, Art. But in addition to that, we've got the counselors, the homosexual counselors. We've got people coming in saying transgendered people have to be given full equality, and we must pander to them, and we cannot counsel to change one's sexuality or to change their gender in any way. If they want to do it, fine, they can do that. Even if it costs a school department umpteen billions of dollars to make these modifications to accommodate them. So, I mean, it's again, we're living in an insane age, a time when people are just being topsy-turvy. So there's no surprise there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree there's no surprise, but I think it's time for the American people to wake up and see the exact people who are there right in front of their face in their communities doing this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you mentioned Whitefish, Montana, about white nationalist groups. They're giving a hard time. And what's the counteraction there? Oh, to bring a rabbi who supports the Anti-Defamation League. Nothing but a front for the Ruffman Crime Syndicate, right? Both parties, I mean, that way we bring one extreme to another. And what we really need is moderation. To bring the society back together again. And that's the sad thing, is I didn't hear anything. Nobody was talking about that, except one person there, Julie Steinberg, who says she's one of the major players in the ADL, says that she helps the people suffering impoverishment in the center city of Philadelphia with clothing and other activities. So, I mean, you got to give them credit for doing that. But at the same time, they need to also pay the piper for their actions of destroying the society. And when the guy mentioned about, you know, the judge ruling back in 1970, he used to be director of ADL, first thing I thought of is how we were going to fight discrimination. Oh, we'll do it with busing. Well, who got all the contracts for busing? Was it not Laidlaw, run by the Brafman Crime Syndicate, the same ones who run the ADL? Also, I had another memory that happened there. I remember when I was at the dedication to the Holocaust Center, the Jewish Museum in Philadelphia, the Independence Mall, and that Netanyahu spoke out. And he says there's three organizations we set up back in 1913. The Federal Reserve Bank, the Internal Revenue Services, and B'nai B'rith, the Anti-Defamation League. Now, so that's straight from the leader of Israel, that it was started right here in Philadelphia. It's amazing, you know, by working with you and actually looking around and seeing how much of this corruption actually was, you know, around Philadelphia, the Chicago Syndicate in New York. And you look at it over three, going on four generations now, you can see how this thing all evolved. It didn't happen in one day. It didn't happen in one decade. But it's clear as a bell. Went from research I did in No Place for Corruption to see what is there and what actually happened and what they're doing next.
Well, absolutely. You know, I do want to give time to our Jerusalem Watch, which we haven't spent a great deal of time in this area for long. But as you know, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that Netanyahu would emerge once again as the prime minister of the state of terror. And we weren't surprised by that in the least. Now, Bill Clinton comes along, interestingly enough, and Bill Clinton pays tribute to him by saying that Netanyahu, quote, knows how to hit people where they're tender, unquote. And I think maybe he was also thinking of himself when, you know, Sharon was in and they were going through the changing of the guards. But what we had this little girl, I think her name was Monica or something like that, Monica Lewinsky, the daughter of a rabbi who serviced Mr. Clinton in the White House, and that became a scandal just at the time that Clinton thought he would clinch a deal with Arafat and he would clinch a deal with the PLO and the Palestinian Authority. My goodness, he knows whereof he's speaking. So this guy, you know, whether it's Netanyahu or whether it's Adelson or whether it's any of the others, Lavery, Gans, or any of those Labor, Likud parties, it matters not, because whoever emerges prime minister will continue to be a hardcore Zionist. It's just a matter of how far can they go. Netanyahu is their man. He is a symbol of terror, of murder, of killing, butchering, of anti-Americanism. So it has to play out the way it's playing out, as I see it, in order for these prophetic events to take place. So, you know, it's, again, it's what's happening there, what's been happening all along in Israel is very fascinating the way it's going. There's a great division within American Jewry here and the Zionist Jewry there in the state, even amongst themselves. They know there's going to be some big, big issues that they're not prepared to face, not the least of which will be some natural events taking place with earthquakes and hailstones coming. But I find that to be very interesting, don't you?
Yes, I do. And I was just reading one paragraph out of InfluenceWatch.org about the current chairman of the ADL, Greenblatt.
Yeah, Greenblatt, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Greenblatt basically worked for Bill Clinton in the Arkansas campaign back in 2015. Mm-hmm. He then served as a director of Impact Economy Project at the Aspen Institute, received more than $500,000 from George Soros, previously mm-hmm. the Open Society Institute. We've talked in the past about the Aspen Institute and its direct ties to what's his name? General Dynamics. What's his name? The CEO there, Klein. What was his name?
Wasn't Morton Klein, but it was Klein.
No, Morton Klein. Morton Klein's the Zionist Organization of America.
Right,
right. Yeah, I'll have to go back, and it's on No Place for Corruption.
That's okay. We got the last name. We got the race. We got the lineage. That's enough.
Right, right. And what else did they say? Oh, he served. Greenblatt served for the over. Obama-Biden presidential transition team in 2008. And let's he was now a civic partition and domestic policy counsel. It's so nice to have these Chicago syndicate gangsters be so interested in the welfare of the American people.
Well, they always have our best interests at heart. That's why we've got Mr. Trump in the White House saying, whatever Mr. Netanyahu and they want, and whatever Sheldon Adelson and he wants, and whatever the so-called Christian Zionists want, I will gladly fulfill. So it's not that he, Trump, is the cause of the problem. He's the effect. Trump is just the errand boy, the water boy, I think, for the synagogue of Satan. And he has to do what he does and say what he says because he's the only one that can get away with it now, you know? I mean, even Obama and all of his fury and fire and evil could not do what Mr. Trump got away with. You remember Richard Nixon? What did he do? Something George McGovern could never have done. Something Lyndon Johnson and Hubert Humphrey could never have done. He was the one who was used to open up the door to what? Communist China. And that was Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State. Took a Republican,
right. Right, who was put in power by Walter Annenberg, one of the founding fathers of the National Crime Syndicate, his son.
Right. It never fails. One big family, huh?
Right. Oh, here's another thing about the ADL in the article Influence Watch. It's the big contributors in 2017: J.P. Morgan, obviously the Rothschilds, Apple, Uber, MGM Resorts, the Brotham Crime Syndicate, Murdoch, and Adelson. One thing the ADL said when they were talking about this is, well, we have influence in Silicon Valley. They mentioned very specific companies. We control influence in Facebook, Twitter, Google, and Apple. All right, so the ADL, anything you say on any one of those communication social engineering boards, you must be talking directly to the ADL and Mossad in Tel Aviv.
People are, like I said earlier in the program, I said, thankfully, many people are waking up to the tune of over 110 million worldwide to get off of these social media outlets, get off of Facebook, Twitter, all of them, and do away with much of the use of your phones, your Alexas, everything that you subscribe to, every program, every software program, you know, today is suspect because it's all leading to a massive surveillance state. They want to know who is what and who has, most of all, who has the guns. That's the name of the game, folks. Our website is noplaceforcorruption.com. Thank you, Art, for being here once again, and we will talk again in the near future. Keep up the good work.
All right. Have a good day, sir.
Yes, my friend. Folks, don't forget Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's program online in the UK, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Rick Adams, the Deadly Experiment, our YouTube channel. We'll be back next week. Much more to come then. Goodbye, and Yahweh bless his elect.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.